Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. And tonight, I am lucky enough to be joined by past show guest and special guest, my homegirl, Michonne Little Owl. Hopefully, I said that right. Who will be joining us here in a second. And if you want to holler at us, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. In the meantime, social media with me, Facebook show page, Twitter, just Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, you Google me. I will add you back because I'm a nice guy like that. I'm just built to be accommodating, so they say. In the meantime, without further ado, I think I have my special guest. How are we doing?
I'm very good. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
It's been a long time. How you been?
Very good. I just actually made a recent move to Richmond, Texas, which is like on the outskirts of Houston, not too far from the Gulf.
Okay. All right. How you like it?
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, my gosh. There's so much green here. Now, okay, I will say, though, and I did visit here in the summer, so I knew there's going to be humidity and stuff. But, oh, my Lord, I had no idea it got this cold. This is definitely not the travel brochure.
Yeah.
And we did cold. Last night I went out for a walk. It must have been 35 degrees. Yeah.
As someone who was born in Indianapolis, your 35 degrees is like shorts weather.
No. Oh, heavens. No, see, I'm your Southern California girl, born and raised San Diego, used to having the sun a majority of the year. And not only that, but higher temperatures. So, oh, yeah, and the mosquitoes here are something else.
Yeah, I could have told you that the mosquito problem there is intense, to say the least. But all small talk aside, I wanted to start off. I saw something, and we're going to get into some other things, but weed. You know, weed is normal everywhere. Well, for most of the United States, marijuana.
Well, it should be. It should be everywhere.
Right, but it's legal, right? But you know,
yes.
Some folks, they have some Chinese-made weed pants or leggings, and it's been a
Are
big
they
deal.
Smoking their pants?
No, at first I thought that, like, they making it out of weed? Are they trying to get kids beat upside the head? But no, it's actually, they just have the designs of the weed plant on the pants.
Oh, gotcha. And even if it was hemp, that wouldn't be enough for a high. I mean, you mean they make hemp hats, hemp shirts. I mean, you'd probably have to smoke hemp rolls because a telephone pole and still probably not feel very buzzed.
Yeah, but you can't say that to these idiots because they'll be beating these kids up.
Oh, my God.
You know. But you know, it's been a big deal that folks have been tripping on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. It is very, very interesting how much people don't know about pot. I mean, all they really know is like what you see on Cops or, you know, FBI files or something like that. There's an amazing number of people who don't realize the medicinal benefits of pot. All they can think of is, you know, people who are saying, oh, I got glaucoma, I need a, you know, faking injury or something and doing this illegal thing. No, 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 that's not what it is. That's not what it is. It's actually extremely beneficial for cancer patients.
Right, which is why it's never prescribed for them.
And, of course, there are people who will abuse gosh darn near anything but, and granted, there are drugs that can make people very violent. I will tell you right now, marijuana is not one of them, unless it is laced with something. Marijuana does not make people violent at all.
Well, we all know that. I mean, the one thing we do know, and it's funny because these parents are talking about, oh, the drug culture and how your advertising showing is acceptable. Now, mind you, the millions of movies that have been seen with cigarette smoke in it. Now, we know secondhand cigarette smoke can kill you. Secondhand marijuana will make you go buy some Doritos. I mean,
well, if they want to say that it's our modern advertisement and what's in our movies and our television shows, and they're blaming that's wrong. That's wrong. The problem isn't that, you know, actors and actresses playing characters that smoke weed or do dope or crack or meth or any of these things, because we have plenty of movies that show murder and mayhem, okay? And you can't just blame people because of those negative movies. The problem is not the negative movies. The problem is not watching people utilize this drug or the paraphernalia of it. The problem is somewhere along the line, someone did not teach these people good decision-making. It's not the movies. It's not the music. It's people make poor choices.
Hell no. How dare you blame the parents for raising their kids and not teaching them stuff?
I can say that. My parents raised me wonderfully, and I'm one of those people, I like horror flicks. I love horror flicks. The cheesier, the better. But I don't go out and do or believe what I'm watching. No, it's entertainment. My parents taught me that. Gosh, I doubt I was even walking before they taught me that. You know, I have good decision-making skills.
Right. You had the nerve to pay attention to what your parents were teaching you, and your parents had the nerve to raise you right. It's like one of them weird steps, you know? Very weird.
Right. Let me put it this way. I have grown. So if for whatever reason one of them went out and did something illegal, which they just don't do, thank goodness, where along the line would I have any right whatsoever to blame that action? Oh, because they saw this on TV. Oh, because they saw someone else doing this. Oh, maybe their friend did this. No. Somewhere along the line, I either didn't teach them well enough as far as decision-making, or for whatever reason, they've gone off on a tangent. But I could not blame entertainment industries for that. That's stupid. That would be ridiculous.
No, it would not.
Wait, do you remember that case of that kid who, gosh, I forget what he did that was illegal, and he was in Mexico, and his mom, this was so recent. This was like three or four months ago.
There's a lot of things that you can do illegally in Mexico. That's why people go down there.
The kid's mother was like trying to interfere, not like super bad, but like slowing up the process of getting this kid back to the States for whatever it was that he'd done. And gosh, his attorney blamed it on something really ridiculous. Like you have people who grow, you know, where they're getting beaten by some kind of syndrome. They said his problem, I mean, he didn't do this on purpose. It's because he had affluenza. And at first I thought it was a joke, but it wasn't a joke. They were really trying to sell it that this kid had some type of disorder called affluenza because he came from a wealthy family and he didn't experience certain things the way other people who are less well-off did. It was the biggest bullshit thing ever. You have to look at that.
Affluenza. No, I don't even need to to even.
I mean, isn't that That's beyond sounding made up. I mean, that's a pure crack of illness.
Well, see, that's what Caucasian people call justifying our negative actions. It's affluenza. You know, hey, we were up in the mountains. Nothing bad ever happened. I think a senator said that very thing. He didn't understand something because it never happened in his family. He never seen anything like that. So he didn't understand
So he automatically discounted that. So if I haven't seen $1 billion in cash and I've never, you know, been in person and my family doesn't have $1 billion in cash, am I supposed to assume, because it's never happened to me, that it does not exist? I mean, their line of reasoning is totally screwy. It never happened to me.
Another case in point. There's the families of three of the men killed in the Orlando Pulse gay nightclub. They're suing Twitter, Alphabet Incorporated, Google, and Facebook. Because they saying that they provided material support to the gunman because he had a Twitter account and he had Facebook and he had Google email. It was their fault that he went and shot those people.
No, and see, that's what people, I understand there's a lot of fear for the victims and their families and pain and suffering, but going to sue these agencies of the public that offer everyone, they offer every, you can go on and start a Twitter account today, a Facebook, whatever you want. They are given the same access that these criminals are given access. These criminals don't do anything special. They have the same permissions as anyone else. And what these people don't realize is Google and Facebook and all these places, they don't go through and ask these people, you know, what do you do for a living? You know, are you a psychopath? Are you an arsonist? Are you a killer?
How can you?
I mean, is privacy. And so for these people to want to sue these companies for that, I mean, that's so stupid. They're not realizing. I mean, how many times are they going to go on their Facebook and post, support me in this challenge, support me in this lawsuit, support. They're doing the exact same thing, except it's not for detriment.
Here's the point. One, under Section 230 of the Federal Communications Decency Act, website operators are not liable for content posted by others, first and foremost. Second, who would say, yeah, I'm a serial killer on any application?
You know, I can understand wanting to direct their anger.
A neighborhood. It doesn't happen.
They're wanting to do something to alleviate their pain. And I can't imagine, nothing bad has happened to me. I can't imagine what the moms and the dads and the brothers and sisters and the friends of these people whose lives were taken so just wrong every way you can think about it. But how they're going about it, it's really nonsensical. Because there's privacy. We're supposed to have privacy. If I sign up for a Facebook, you know, I shouldn't be subjected to where in order to have such a Facebook page, I must answer my ethnicity. I must answer my gender. I must answer my sexual preference. I must answer if I'm married or if I have children. These are personal things.
Right.
They're not remembering.
They suggested. I mean, because nowadays we live in a culture where people readily give up their information. They readily put everything about themselves out there and tell
that's what another thing they're not remembering. If someone wants to be free with their information, fine, by all means, that's you, that's your information. And guess what? As a member of this free society, I may keep certain information to myself, and they just can't remember that.
and I just got to be free. Oh, I'm just, I was singing the song. I was caught up. That was all. Don't pay me no mind. Can I ask you, we're going to go take a little quick break here.
Oh, sure. Oh, no problem. I get right on my soapbox, and it's hard to step down.
I know. That's why I got you here, because I like your soapbox. Anyway, this is Q-Tip. Believe.
We should roll up our sleeves, and we got a whole firm when faith was like a seed. Why doubt your plans? Cause it's all worth believing. We can make it work, do believe that. Leave mistrust in the dust and believe that we can achieve that by tuning out negative feedback. Naysayers can hate, we concentrate to bring belief back into ourselves, into the world, into the rap game. If he's a miserable, then mute the motion, leave him ice main. Man, look, we holding out for the truth, but we alone in the loop. We gon' hold for the proof. Man, put it in, believe it, believe it, believe it. Believing is the feeling that we need. Believe in each other, put the question to the system. They promise and returns and question what you're getting. We should believe in the reasons we exist. Time for renaissance to reawaken what it isn't. Believe can confirm, make it is what it isn't. Sometimes I wish I had belief when I didn't.
I believe.
In the land of make believe, time to make unbelievable. The realm of the real, believing the shit that's force fed through the media, believing it's real when it's really your voice here. Never disbelieve when you see human miracle like ghetto children shining bright in Babylon. Believing that, don't believe it, that's in the contrary. Gotta be weary of them theories, carry on. People find belief when they don't find identity. Believe in your friends, don't believe in your enemies. Mountains of doubt and disbelief are in front of you. Truth on the other side, what you gonna do?
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Q-Tip. Believe. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, the call-in number is 347-826-7435. Come holler at me and my special guest, Nashawn Little Owl. How we doing?
Feels very, very good. Glad I'm inside, though, because tonight it's really cold. It's like 33.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good luck with that. I've got my heat on, so I'm good, and I'm kind of bundled up here a little bit, so I think I'll be all right. In the meantime.
Yeah, it's surprising. I'm still verklempt that it's so cold here. Oh, the other thing is San Diego has a lot of mountains, a lot. You can be totally lost in San Diego, look at a mountain, oh, that's Mount Woodson, I know where I am, that's Mount Soledad, that's, you know, whatever mountain. Here, it's totally flat. There are no mountains, and it's really disorienting.
Well,
No mountains.
You have red ants. Red ants will tell you that you need to go somewhere, too.
The ants, I remember, that's another thing.
Yeah.
There are big and they bite hard and it does not feel good.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Red ant. Welcome to the South.
I don't, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't encourage going from California to the South, but I hope you transition well. In the meantime.
Well, yes. The people are very nice. Everything's wonderful.
Yeah. So, I mean, speaking of something that's not so nice and wonderful, North Dakota. You want to talk about that? Yes.
Oh, gosh. Now, if there is, this will sound screwy, and I apologize to anyone if they're offended, but of the many ethnic groups in this country, oh my God, is there anything else that they can do to the Native Americans that they haven't done already? Why? We're supposed to be making progress as a nation in this thing where companies can step in and just take what's not theirs.
Hold on. I got to stop you right there. That's kind of what this nation was founded on, you know, like discovering a place that there were millions of people already living in.
Yeah, because they didn't know they were actually standing on soil. But remember, and how long ago was that? And what were we supposed to learn? Somewhere along the line, someone didn't learn, you know, stop taking what's not yours. Don't make up crappy lies and whatever to try to get what's not yours.
That's not the lesson. See, that's where you're wrong. That's not the lesson. The lesson is...
Well, if you want to break it down to don't kill people just so you can take what you want.
No, that's still not the lesson. The lesson is, hey, you better hold on tight to what you got because they coming to take it. That's the lesson. That's always been the lesson. Hey, look, you know, your boy Archibald the second was sitting up there talking about, oh, yeah, we're observing these treaties. I'm like, man, it's been five treaties that have been signed
by
the
U.S. He must have skipped the college class on treaties with the Native Americans.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, but he is a Native American tribal chair, and it's like he's like invoking treaties. I mean, the dude is sitting up here talking about, oh, yeah, well, one, we're talking about how there's the Laramie Treaty of 1851 and 1868, which encompasses North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota. And I'm like,
hey. Right. And be that as it may, you could have been established 1,000 years ago. It really doesn't matter because the treaties that were made with the Native Americans were never followed. Why does he think this one would be any different?
Well, I believe that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and thinking that it's going to change.
Oh, yeah.
So,
that is definite insanity.
It's insane. Maybe that's what it is. He's insane and doesn't know it.
Or just holding on to a hope that's really not sensical to have if you look at the track record. I mean, it's good that people have hope. But if you look at the track record and see how many times these treaties were not followed, perhaps a different approach would be better or more fruitful.
Time.
I don't know.
Every time. He actually asked the protesters to go home because they're hoping to negotiate with Donald Trump, who, as I've pointed out on the show
good
before,
luck with that one.
He is an investor in the pipeline. And I'm like, so you're going to negotiate with the guy that stands to make money off of this? How's that going to work out?
It's not good. That's like putting duct tape on your face, on your lips, and then ripping it off. It's just not going to work very well. You're going to be left just without a voice.
Yeah.
If not already blunt.
Yeah,
If this company is doing what it's doing, it from the moment that they started thinking, hey, we should just go through this area, they're not going to listen. They've already committed themselves to taking what's not theirs.
Well, they actually built it all the way up on both sides. They just, that little area is where they haven't connected it yet.
Well, perhaps they can go around. Sure, it might be another 800 miles of pipe, but you know what? If they want it that bad, they'll do it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. We know what inevitably is going to happen. As you started off saying, what
this
else can they do to the Native Americans?
Right.
There's not too much left. I mean, genocide, knocking off about 98% of the Native American population here in America, check.
Mm-hmm.
Destroying your religion, culture, and God, check.
Mm-hmm. The nature practices,
right.
Languages.
Yep.
Some tribes were completely wiped out. There's no more of certain tribes.
Right.
I mean, they were gone in the 1600s.
Right, that's the whole 98%. I mean, in my guesstimate, because, you know, they say, oh, there was probably only about 2-3 million Native Americans. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but they're missing. They're missing. Yeah. There's more than North America. There's also Central America and South
right.
America. And when you look at the demographics of that, and you go back to when before conquistadors and everybody started coming this way, the population was very steady with the natives, you know, people who study anthropology and that kind of thing. And it's when all this exploring and quote-unquote discovery of new lands went underway, within a space of about 125, 150 years, the population of Native Americans in North Central and South America had dropped by like some astronomical in total percentage-wise. It was like 93%, 95%, something really ridiculous. Tens of millions of people. Tens of millions of people.
I started off at 98% because I'm aiming low. Because I always cite the whole, as someone who came from somewhere else other than California, I did not go to school with any Native American.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things where, and you know, I talked to my friends and none of them went to school with any Native American. That kind of shows that there is a dearth.
Right. Oh, how very small.
Right, the population. I mean, and then to talk about, they put you on the worst pieces of land in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah, right. We give you 20,000 acres, never mind that it's polluted swampland.
Right, where nothing can grow. But, hey, It's your nation, homie. Do your thing. And then come to find out, oh, there's oil there. We want it back.
Right. Oh God.
I mean, because you know they use the whole civil rights playbook. They have the water hoses, the dogs, and the police with guns.
Which is horrible. That. Oh my God! How bad? How low can these people go against these Native Americans? What in the world? Water hoses? Seriously?
Well, yeah, and like you were talking about, it's 33 there. It was like a little bit colder when they were using the water hose.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I see things on Facebook every day. It looked like it was a full on-out blizzard, and they're doing dances in this. I mean, the wind is blowing everywhere. There's snow covering everything, and they are still there. They are dedicated. They're dedicated to their culture, to their livelihood. You know, their struggle still continues how many hundreds of years later.
Yeah, Geronimo is out.
Bring him back. He'll take care of it.
You know, he's one of my heroes. I was like, you know, too bad everybody else didn't rally with him. Like, got to understand what's happening. But, yeah, they're still protesting. I mean, you say it's. I believe if I checked right earlier today, it was like 12 degrees.
Oh God! Anything under 70 is too cold.
Right. And I mean, they're still out there fighting, doing their thing. I know there have been some things that have been happening, and people are distracted by it, like this whole North Carolina and House Bill 2. I'm like, that's not important. I mean, it's like the bathroom. I'm like, and see, for purposes of practicality, you're a female. I'm a male. Mm-hmm. I have a penis. You have a vagina. Generally, you go to the women's bathroom. I go to the men's bathroom. It's a 2-minute proposition, 3-minute proposition, and we're back to whatever the hell we was doing. But for some reason, that has become something major. That's a bigger story than North Dakota and them potentially polluting the water and the land.
That's
using
ridiculous.
The bathroom.
I mean, if you got to go, you got to freaking go. I don't really care what you got up your skirt, so long as you are in your stall doing your thing. When you leave, please wash your hands. I don't care.
I mean, the bill says you have to use the bathroom that your birth certificate says.
Oh, so we should all carry our birth certificates now.
Pretty much.
That's ridiculous.
Like, because we're talking about this is a fabricated issue, right? Because they're talking like there was somebody at the bathroom like, hey, do you have a penis? Why are you coming in? It's like, that's not happening. You know, I'm like, hold on.
Right.
You think about it. I've never gone to the bathroom there where somebody's like, hey, man, you got a penis? We want to make sure you got a penis before you come in.
Right. What gender were you when you were born? I mean, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. That's an impingement on people's rights. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that goes into the right of privacy. I can see what they're saying as far as if I look and I'm all dressed up, you know, I got my heels, I got my dress, and I'm very obviously a man in drag. I got a full beard or whatever. I might have some issues with that. You know, especially if I knew that that guy really was just a guy, and a lot of times you can tell. But for a majority of the population, 99%, they go in there, they do their business, they come out.
Right.
That's what it is. You see the ladies, girls, they look like a lady, go in the ladies. They look like a guy, go in the guys. Heck, I've been in situations before where the ladies, the line's always, 2 miles long, so I'll go and use the guy's restroom so long as he's looking.
Yeah, you women are very invasive. I mean, that is the true villainy. There's nothing like guys trying to use the bathroom and then bam, y'all in there. Sorry, I had to go. Like, hold on.
Yeah, because when you gotta go, you really gotta go. And there's hardly ever lines at a guy's bathroom. Seriously.
Right.
Hardly ever. They're done. With girls, like I said, 2 or 3 miles long.
Y'all go to the bathroom together. That's why your line's so damn long. It's like, hey, you want to come with me to the bathroom? dudes don't ask that. Like, hey, man, you want to come with me to the bathroom? Like, hell no.
That might be some kind of subconscious safety thing or some type of grouping instinct or something.
You
know about human development and you know the hunter-gatherer that kind of things. So it might be just a natural thing for me to say, hey, want to go to the bathroom? Or especially if I don't know what area I'm in, I'm definitely going to ask more.
Miss Little Owl, I have to ask you this question now. So is it wild like that in the woman's bathroom where y'all got to go in pairs? I mean, it's like some women in there with razor blades. Like, I mean, is that how y'all roll?
I think that would depend on which area I'm in. Although when I use public restrooms, I'm very wary. You know, you walk in, you listen for sounds. If it looks empty, you look underneath the stalls to see if you see shoes or purses or something. I mean, you want to know. It's an unfortunate fact of, I guess, of society in general, where women have some things they're always going to fear about or worry about or be concerned with.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, you know, I had to ask that question because it's like women always go to the bathroom like in pairs. Now I was like, is there like Fight Club going on in the woman's bathroom?
No, it's really it's just like, a bunch of ladies standing around doing the TT dance. That's usually what it is. It's a standing line hoping to God that people just use get in, go out. I went to a football game, gosh, about a month ago, to a Houston Texans game. Oh, my God. There was just no chance to use the women's restroom. The line was just too long. I would have missed an entire quarter and a half. But the guys, whoop, no line.
Right.
They go in, they come out. But there's so many women, and they were actually trying to use it really fast, really fast. And there were a lot of people. They see someone who's elderly, they let them go in front of them. They see someone with a kid or with a baby, they let them go in front of them. So they're polite. And, of course, with that many women waiting in line to use the bathroom, you don't really need a safety weapon or something. I think, you know, you feel more safe.
There are a lot of people. I mean, well, we going to get off the bathroom because you're going to make me, like, weary going to my own bathroom. Like, it's something in there. So I have to look.
Guys have so many less fears. I know that sounds sexist. It's unfortunate, but it's true. There are certain fears that women are just always going to have that, in general, men don't have. They don't.
Okay.
Or they very rarely do.
Well, I would disagree that there are some fears that men have. It's just
right.
They aren't really apparent. Right.
Well, I know, and this will sound horrible, but there are some fears that really only women, maybe in rare cases, men, if a woman is out alone in the dark or in a place she doesn't know or where there's something about her surroundings is menacing, I mean, you're going to have people who are going to worry about being overpowered or conked on the head and kidnapped. And how many times do guys really worry about that? I mean, of course, guys go missing too, but, you know, you have a very, very large amount of women that, you know, are kidnapped and terrible things are done to them, they're killed, whatever. It's a fear that seems it's far more of a female fear, far more a female tendency as far as fears go than male. I'm not saying it doesn't happen for men, but I'm thinking.
I think, one, it depends on where you are and when you were, because like you was talking about earlier, the 16th century, 17th century, 18th century.
Oh, yeah. Very true.
If you were a black man, there's a little fear and trepidation all over the world. I mean,
oh, you know. Yes. Oh, absolutely. I didn't mean to infer. I'm talking about now, nowadays.
I'm being jokeful here.
Okay, yeah. In the 60s, it wasn't very good for you.
Right. In the South. In particular, there are planned parishes where we know not to go because if we're alone there, it probably wouldn't end well. It's one of those things. The South is you know, everybody, they say segregation is gone, but it actually isn't. It just they just call them parishes and counties now.
Segregation is not gone. Some people try to be a little bit more, how would you say, refined in how they deal with things that are definitely segregation.
Well, we're done with refinement now. Refinement then went out the window. We didn't go back to the good old days of straight up racism. Now, I mean, and I'm sure you'll agree that, you know, for some of them who are overly racist, they can get it. I mean, like, there have been several instances where they've attacked or talked to the wrong guy. I mean, I posted a video earlier today where a white Caucasian guy was talking to a black dude and said the wrong word and got knocked out for his trouble.
Oh, wow.
It's a different day. I mean, they even, and when we're going to go on break here, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about, there's a Klan show that's going to be on A&E, a reality show.
Oh, God.
We'll be back when we get back here. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. This is Donnie Hathaway. Everything is everything. Numbers 347-826-7435. I am joined by my homegirl, special guest, Michonne Little Owl. KKK.
Oh, yeah.
Reality show. Can't wait to see that one, can you?
You know, one thing about reality shows, okay, reality infers, you know, actual, something that's depending on how you using the word reality, something that is true, something that is factual, something that can be confirmed, not just from your own point of view, but the view of others. You know, right now it is night. You know, there's a lot of people here who would definitely confirm that. But these reality shows, I am convinced that they are scripted down to the very bad acting. It's not reality. Maybe the reality of their stupidity, but that would probably be about it.
Yeah. Well,
especially if it's KKK reality, really?
They said KKK legacy or something like that. I'm like, I mean, aren't these the people that was hanging and killing everyone that was not Caucasian? I mean, mm-hmm. It's like a reality show about terrorists.
A show about stupidity and cruelty and hate and injustice and a show of the actions and circumstances that we are supposed to have overcome. We are supposed to have seen it as wrong, as a nation, wrong. You don't do this to people. And mm-hmm. we're supposed to grow and learn from that. And it's really atrocious and unfortunate that there are people who obviously don't give a good goddamn about those lessons that we were supposed to learn.
I myself, and I'm going to say this on the air, you know, I probably should. I would not mind if someone blew up the set of KKK Legacy or whatever the hell they're going to name it.
I can see that statement from the point of view that their belief, their hate, their injustice, their ideology is something that would definitely threaten a lot of people or put them at some level of fear, and then those people might strike back. I don't agree that they would strike back. I don't think that they should do that, because that kind of puts them in the same boat as these fellows who are hurting and maiming and killing people or damaging their property because they are the color of their skin.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, I'm trying to get where there's a positivity in this show. I'm guessing this is a whole, hey, we're bringing white folks back like the white man ever left, but apparently they're taking it to the next level of, I mean, we have a reality show with KKK. And
the only thing that they're going to really prove to many people will tune in. Unfortunately, we're very, you know, there's morbid curiosity for the bad things that people do and the way they behave. But really the only thing they're going to prove is how ridiculous their actions are, how ridiculous their beliefs are, how ridiculous their little, you know, sheep clubs are, and their ideology is diseased. It really is. It's not healthy thinking whatsoever.
Oh, you know they're going to in the kinder, gentler KKK. We're not against you. We're just pro us.
They don't really think that words harm any less than actual weapons, do they? Because if that's what they think, they're even bigger fools than anyone could have ever thought.
Well, you
damage this just the same.
Well, they believe in the actual damage of people. I mean, they still are killing folk.
And to have this kind of soapbox to stand up on and then to claim it as reality, which in a way, in a backwards way, if you're a racist, that's going to affirm your beliefs. Having shows like this, it's a free country, so you're free to express yourself, yes, but there are certain things that there are more people who should say no to. That is not something I want my network to air. No, that just, you're not telling these people, okay, your belief is wrong, you're this, you know, we're not censoring you, I'm just giving you that. I am not going to have your kind of show on my station, you know,
somebody else. It's America, freedom of speech. Just watch what you say,
right,
depending on who you are. But
right,
apparently,
they could have.
This is going popular.
For whatever network thought that would be a good idea, you know, maybe they're struggling for money or Nielsen ratings or whatever. There's really no. Oh, A&E? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised.
Well,
that really makes me not A&E.
Right.
And I usually watch that network a lot.
Whatever shows they have, they've all died in my head.
Yeah, I'm all for freedom of speech. You know, if you want that, to put that kind of reality show up, you don't scrape up your own cash, build your own network. You know, do your own little show on your computer or whatever. If I'm a network owner, I'm going to say, don't come within, you know, 10 miles of my network. That's not going to happen. But,
that's probably why you don't own a network. Because you wouldn't be friendly. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, at that point, it's kind of like watching the news. There's a negative. It's all negative, negative, negative. So-and-so died. This plane crashed. That train crashed. This car crashed. This many people died. A bomb blew up. This blew up. That blew up. It's so much bombardment and negativity. People have come to expect that, and even in the shows, and it's kind of frightening.
I've got some good news for you, though. Right down
What's
there in
that?
Texas, Corpus Christi had a ban on drinking water. Guess what? They lifted that ban. So now you can drink it. You can take showers. You can do whatever. They said, hey, it was contaminated 4 days ago, but guess what? We tested it. A new batch of people tested it, not those old people, but this new batch of people tested it. And
batch of people that aren't sick yet from drinking the polluted water.
Well, no, see, the mayor said you can resume using the city's water supply for drinking, bathing, and cooking now. Now, they say it's all use, but we are going to continue to monitor as we go on. Damn the
So
queen.
If it was safe to drink and cook with and shower with, why did they
right.
have to monitor it?
Don't worry about it. Y'all was all in the uproar. They sold all the bottled water in Corpus Christi and all areas around. Like, I don't know. Is there enough bottled water in the shower?
To be in the military, and it doesn't take that much to take a shower. Really, it's only like a few gallons, if that. We had these showers that we had put up, and if you put the water at the top and the sun heats it, you know, you have like a little foil on the outside. It kind of heats the water. Then you turn the little lever, and the water comes out, and you can moisten yourself. And then you turn it off, you can soap up, and then you turn it back on, rinse, and you're good to go. You got a very short shower with very little water.
I don't think people are doing that.
Take a good 16 bottles of drinking water, you know, or maybe they could do it like in medieval times when they only took a bath like once a month, once a year.
Yeah, they had the
water that way.
Yeah, but they had the plague when they did that.
Oh no, not just the plague. Well, the fact that they didn't bathe as often certainly didn't help the plague because everything was so filthy. If you ever get the time, look up the shows Filthy Cities, and a lot of them are medieval times and how these people lived, and gosh, it's just appalling, really appalling. Even royalty, the monarchs, they weren't really all that clean. Which only added, the filth added to the bubonic plague, but it was really...
Right.
You know,
that's why
rats.
I look that stuff up, because I would start itching and scratching myself because, I mean, I remember.
Yeah, you can only take so much of the negativity, and it gets to be, studying history.
Napoleon wrote a letter to Josephine talking about don't bathe for a whole month so you can stink so good when I get there. It's like.
Please tell me that's a joke, because that sounds so terrible.
No,
take a shower.
Yes, don't bathe.
He really said that.
He wrote a love note to Josephine, his woman.
A love note? modern days, if a guy writes his girl, please don't date for a month, I mean, something's not right in the gravy. He's got some bad plans. he wants her to get sick. Right. Oh, my God, I've never heard that about Napoleon. That's really disgusting.
Well, I mean, oh, God. You can't say you're shocked by that, are you? That's kind of how
I live. That's just, yikes. They don't teach you that in a history class, that's for sure.
I mean, it's not one of those facts that you want to put in the curriculum. That was a college lesson, like Napoleon and his love letter. I mean, if you want to gross somebody out, as you were just grossed out, hey, I'm guessing that he probably wrote about that frequently in his love. I mean, because there's nothing that says kindness and affection like, hey, don't bathe because I'm going to smell you.
That's so disgusting. You have to, like, get a chisel and peel off the rind. It's you. That's so gross.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah. Now, speaking of ghosts, before we get out of here, we definitely want to if people wanted to check you out, see what you was doing, because I know you got some things going. What you got going, and how can people
I have a store for much of the artwork that I do. It's if you go to Zazzle.com and then look up the store called Smarty Two Shoes. It's all one word. And I've done all the artwork on there. And over the last couple of years, I've been doing various paintings.
Zazzle.com, you want to spell that out?
Zazzle.com. And then you type in the store name, which is capital S, SMARTY, capital TWO, capital SSHOES, Smarty Two Shoes. And I have a lot of cartoon art, but what I've been really focusing on the last couple of years is regular artwork, acrylics, impressionism, cubism, surrealism. I like that kind of artwork. I have several different versions of Starry Night instead of Starry Night. One of them I have Earthy Night, so you're not looking at the moon and the stars. You're actually looking down at the earth from the moon.
What? Not to cut you off, Miss Little Owl, but you know our time is up, so... Before I let you go, I want to say thank you. And as always, it's been a pleasure having you on, and I hope that we can connect again.
Absolutely. Anytime. I always enjoy being on your show.
All right. Well, hey, Miss Michonne, Little Owl, y'all give her a hand if you want.
That's awesome. It sounds kind of like bacon and popcorn.
Yeah, only I don't do swine. But thank you for coming on the show. And
thank you very much.
Look forward to having you back again real soon.
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right. In the meantime, oh, man, water, cleanliness. I mean, these are the basic tenets of what we're talking about. You know, me and this Little Owl joking about water and stinkiness and hygiene, but these are the arguments that aren't talked about. I mean, it's a basic tenet that we can shower and it's all good, but when folks can't take care of the basic, you know, basic hygiene, I mean, we're talking about disease and Lord knows what else nowadays with the super drugs. So for Miss Little Owl, thank you. I'm Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production, and we're out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drummer.